Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's call on Buddhas and Butterflies. We're off to the races. We are heading back into houses 9 and 10, and we're heading into the houses of, pardon me, not the houses, the emotions that I call combination emotions. So things that are combinations of the basic five: fear, anger, grief, worry, joy, sadness, which is really six. And amongst those, there are often different combinations for different people. So it's not like we can say, well, this is what that is precisely. It's often different measurements of different amounts of emotions for different folks. But they're more complex, they're more layered. And they're also really common human experiences. I love the all the messages that have come in for today. And I'm stoked to get into today's session. So if you haven't already, I'm gonna invite you to bring to mind your curiosity for what you're looking to explore for yourself for today. And I'm going to invite you to get comfy and cozy. Grab a place where you can either sit or lay and be undisturbed for our time together. Beginning here by means of breathing. Every breath an opportunity to call in. To receive. To drink in life. Every exhale, an opportunity to release. To let go. To make space. And every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. And if any part of that is pleasant, even neutral, taking time to savor that, to savor that, to drink that in. Then I'm going to invite us to actually do that on purpose, to locate something that brings us some joy, some beauty, some ease. Mostly to begin to resource ourselves as well as to train our brains to interrupt the typical survival patterns and to remind it that there actually is other options out there happening right here, right now. I'm going to invite you to take a look around your space with all of your senses. And as you do that, either externally or internally, letting your senses go for a little bit of a tour, go for a bit of a wander. And the invitation is to drink in the things that just simply feel good to be with, that are just simply even neutral. And to ultimately land on one thing amongst this tour, letting the attention of your senses land on one thing in particular. Noticing what it is you like about that thing. See if you can name two, three things that just feel useful, pleasant, or even neutral. Neutral could be something as simple as, like, this is a really simple one. There's paint on the walls and it's not going anywhere right now in this moment. There's air moving in and out of my lungs right now. And as you drink in those two or three things, as you note them, the invitation is to slow down, to really savor them, to spend time, to linger here. And as you drink those in, as you pause to breathe them inside of you, you may notice something happening inside of your body with that. And if any part of that inside of the body is also pleasant, easeful, neutral, the invitation is to savor that too. To savor that right along with wherever your attention may be. And as you continue to hang out here for as long as feels right for you, I'm going to offer these words. Thank you for the opportunity to gather here today. And thank you for all that's gone into this sweet moment of connection. The families that created you, the ancestors that created them, and the lineage that's held it all. Thank you to this earth, nurturing, nourishing us into stillness. The sky above giving us peace and space, vastness to explore. The fire carry us to the edges of the unknowable mysteries. And the water that carries us to the very core of our being, our essence, our bones, our blood. We ask that this time together be also of service, not just to ourselves, but to the world as a broader whole in ways that we may never even come to know. Kausai. To life. It's interesting as we start off today's session, it's actually going into the left side of the heart. The left side of the heart is the heart, the part of the muscle that in some points might say stops the blood, other points of view might say it pumps the blood. In Western medicine, they think that. Rudolf Steiner, many others agree with him that the heart is not so much of a pump, but a stopping point, a pause point for things to come to, a moment of stillness. And the flow of blood from the left side of the heart, whether it's pumping or pausing, is going into the entire body. So the left side of the heart is connected to the flow of blood, the flow of passion, into the entire body. I was saying off camera that we've had a wild week of astrology in this last 7, 9 days, really. And it's come to a bit of a pause point just a day or two ago. And it's a little bit quieter. I won't go into all the transits, but there is something like really big transits that don't happen very often every other day for like four or five things all in a row. So there's been some intensity up. And I like to think of that to a degree as there's also availability of passion available. There's passion available amongst all of that. Let me say that a little bit cleaner. And that intensity that is often mistaken as something that's, challenging or hard, may also carry a certain amount of zhuzh, fire, passion. And I know I can fall into the trap all the time of going like, oh man, that's a lot. At the same time, sometimes that actually accomplishes some really good things amongst that all. Imagine trying to birth a baby without the intensity of contractions. It's going to be really hard. So life, birth itself is actually built in a certain amount of intensity. So it's actually working with the intensity and the vastness that it takes to support the flow of passion and for the passion itself to flow throughout the entire body. If you could imagine just for a moment what that would be like to be in charge of supporting passion flowing throughout an entire body that sometimes isn't always as, receptive, available, may not be as present or aware, but not all anyways, is what I mean by that. Your body is certainly there receiving it, otherwise you, well, wouldn't be here. But we may not be as aware of that all happening. And this is to support literally the awareness getting just a little bit deeper into this flow of life through you. And sinking into our permissions. And the words are very much echoing that. The words are just simply life through, pardon me, life flows through me. Life flows through me. So, what is it to have life flow through you? And, if we ponder that, I know there's a lot of ideas around how that came to be, but what if just for now we didn't have to figure it out and we just got to sit in the wonder of wow, that came to be somehow. And as we bring in the consciousness of wonder, it's linking into the fire element that goes through as the heart is a part of the fire element through houses 9 and 10. So all things fire are very much about expansion to the very edges of that which is edging into the territory of the unknowable, the mystery. House 9, pericardium, is interestingly enough working to circulate sensuality and how it is our senses come alive, how it is our awareness amongst that is here to freely, expansively, with enthusiasm, call us even deeper into growth and expansion. The 10th house, the triple heater, is very much the house of fire in the sense that it works through our endocrine system and our hormones. And they're a little bit mysterious, the nervous system, we have a sense that we can dissect that, we can see that. The endocrines, yes, we have glands, but we don't necessarily see the molecules themselves. We don't necessarily know how it is they're actually communicating and doing what that is without a smooth pathway. Like the nerves have a smooth connected pathway. The endocrines, they don't necessarily have obvious channels of communication that those chemicals somehow work to do all the things that they do to support basic health. And in this time frame, we have a fair amount of things that can challenge our hormones. And in the neuroendocrine system alike, really, there's a fair amount of synthetics and plastics, and I'm going to say artificial things. And beyond that, there's the belief systems that get wrapped up amongst that, that also point to our own falseness, our own fakeness, our own artificialities, our own synthetic ways of being in the world. That get confused with what's actually natural and true. So as we work here with the element of fire, it's actually pointing us to expand beyond what the social norms are, to allow the heart to come into alignment with what it's actually sensing, and to support your hormones and actually staying regulated. That could be a tall order amongst the confusions that are, again, out there in the world and all the information that often pulls us astray. And it happens primarily when we outsource our knowingness to other people. So this is actually linking you back into this seat of you, into your seats, into your sovereignty, into your, this word specifically is the authority. Not necessarily authority as in above somebody else, but the capacity to author oneself. So what would it be to be at the center of your own being, the center of your authority? And I'm going to suggest part of how that can happen is by looking at those. We often work with little ones, our little kiddos, our parts of us that are having some emotional responses, and to step into as much as may be available. And we've talked about this before, and this is again a tall order to do all at once, but it's layer by layer, bit by bit. But to step in with them is the attuned adult. And amongst that, it's linking into the heart chakra. And this is often the place where those little ones feel like they're actually kind of missing that presence of the attuned adult. We often have some pain in our heart when that seems like it's just not quite there. Now, we're actually linking literally your presence, your awareness, by linking in all five senses, six senses, physical and subtle, into this heart space. And as we include the subtle senses in that, it's like there's a new layer of connection through insight, intuition, reading between the lines, and allowing for that type of information to be met by your little ones in particular, who at certain stages of life, they didn't actually have words. They didn't actually have concepts. All they had was that type of energetic attunement through the subtle level of senses. So in particular, there's a strong leaning in of the little one into those subtle senses. And amongst all this, we're working with the cellular repair to restore cells back to their fullest potential of health through this heart space. We're going to actually go through the family lines. We're going to go into dad's side in particular. And we're going back a fair ways. Actually, it's nine generations, so not a small amount. And it's looking at all the various different ways that the heart essentially got blocked off. So how did the heart get isolated? How is there a sense of isolation in your connections, in your relationships? How did that come to develop? How did that come to be? Is essentially what we're working with here through dad's lineage on nine generations back. And it's actually working with a fairly substantial network of various different types of abuse. It actually changed amongst the generations. So in certain generations, the abuse was more financial. In other generations, it was more emotional. In other generations, it may be more physical, sexual. Relational abuse is a really common one that's coming up pretty prevalently here. And I'm going to suggest that the variance of the abuse is actually a part why this network has maintained its presence, because it looks like it's something different as it changes generations, but it's actually just a different morphing of. And all of those had one thread in common, which was just simply loss of connection. And as we lose connection to one another, we don't develop the capacity for parents to connect with their children. And then children don't learn how to connect with themselves. And they don't learn how to then connect with their children that they become parents to. And we're working with this more metaphorically speaking as you become a parent to yourself. But we're working with that sense of loss of connection amongst parenting oneself, as well as having received healthy connection within the lineage, generation after generation after generation, because of the interruptions of abusiveness. All of that stemming into and creating a vast amount of not just confusion, but straight up overwhelm, to the point where it actually hit a point of, this is too much to bear. I actually have to numb out to this. And it became apathy. So those are the layers of emotions that we're also going to simultaneously work with. Confusion, overwhelm, and apathy, all linked into that heart space. And just like there was like a common thread going through all the different types of abuse, there's actually a common thread as well. This is interesting. I've never seen this come up in this way before. So the common thread going through the layers, the intergenerational abuse, the different types of it, is being mirrored. So the emotions of confusion, overwhelm, apathy, they also have a thread running through them. And the emotional thread is actually apathy. The thread that was running through the layers of abuse was actually connection. So there's this interesting thread of not just anxiety that's running through all of them, but it's leading to anxiety and connection overall. So this might show up more obviously in your day-to-day life by just simply having anxiety in connecting, whether that's to yourself or to somebody else. And not even necessarily social anxiety, that could be one thing, but you might just have anxiety around like a component of it. It might not be overarching like that. It might be a component of that, which is like, I'm a little shy to rock the boat. I'm a little shy to speak up. I'm afraid you won't approve of me. It could be into like being seen, afraid of being seen, afraid of being heard, afraid of being known, out of a sense of I might die if that actually happens. So this it can range. And as we work with that anxiety, it's like there's this energy here within the anxiety itself. And this is where it gets even more interesting, in my opinion. I think this is really interesting. It's linking into like that thread is now of the emotional piece that was anchored into the abuse layers throughout the heart and the heart brain is a part of that. The thread of anxiety is actually going into the spine. It's literally in the center column of the spine, in the back space behind the heart. And it's actually connecting into the reptilian brain that acts instinctively here. Connection is actually an instinct. And it's actually working with the hardwiring experiences of having been unmet and not been connected to well, and that being a sense of not being able then to easily flow through the spinal column, through the fluid, through the discs. Through the actual tensegrity, that's a fancy word. Let me just say it this way. Through the bounciness of the spine, which is present when all parts of the spine are holding their own weight and no one part is doing more over functioning or under functioning compared to any other parts. And then all of that is being defined by linking you into your inner animal. Your inner animal. Which sometimes, especially in the feminine form, we're actually taught to fear our inner animal. We sometimes think of it as an inner predator, and we actually keep it at bay. And nonetheless, we actually all have an animal side to us. It's hardwired in our reptilian brain. There's a weakening of it here in this back of the heart space. So it's actually calling into your inner animal. And I think of the inner animal as the part of you that can connect to your wild self. The part that isn't quite as concerned about comfort, the part that moves before you even understand things, like, you know, when the baby is like falling out of the high chair, and all of a sudden you're just like out of nowhere, you just like grab the baby before you even recognize what's happening. It's kind of like that instinct. Yeah. So it's the capacity to move without necessarily need to figure out why and how you're supposed to do it. It just happens. So I think of our inner animal as having those characteristics, those qualities. As I talk about the inner animal, I'm gonna, just for fun, invite you to imagine an animal that just calls to you in this moment. And you might even imagine it here and present after you receive it behind your heart space. So after one comes to you, if it hasn't already, I'm gonna invite you to imagine it like literally having your back, having the back of your heart. Giving you the sense of being not just protected, but backed up. Like someone's got your back in all of this. Someone's got your back right here, right now, in all of this. And your inner animal is here to have your back. As it has your back, as you breathe, the air travels through this heart space area. And as you talk, as you vocalize, literally the expression of your inner animal comes out of your throat, comes through the voice box. As it does so, it passes through the tonsils. And the tonsils are, I want to say, kind of like guardians here to your voice. And the guardians here are holding on to protective energy because they haven't felt the sense of the inner animal being as strong. And now that the inner animal is more here, more online than it has been available before, the guardianship, the protection, the overprotection of the tonsils, whether or not you physically have them. I know it's popular for them to get removed. There's still the energy of them here. And we're working with, which can also lead to a sense of the voice not feeling very protected and also shutting down in its own way. But we're working with that energy field of the tonsils. And we're working with a sense of protection that's here, whether that was a sense of being underprotected because they weren't here, or they were checked out because they were overwhelmed, or whether they've been a little overprotective. And it's linking into simultaneously experiences in childhood that carried both fear and anger. Carried both fear and anger. At the extreme point, that could be terror or rage. At the less extreme point, it could just be upset. It could be anxiety, confusion on the more mild side of things. Not necessarily confusion, but anxiety, pardon me. And amongst all of that, there could be actually some confusion in like, how do I actually respond now? So I'm used to responding from my childhood habit patterns. And now I get to figure out how to do that from my adult. Now I'm learning how to channel that. And all of that is linking right back into houses 9 and 10. And it's linking back into the sense of being in connection to not just ourselves, but being in service to the outer world. So using our voice, not just for ourselves, but on behalf of other people, on behalf of when it feels right to do so. Not because we have a necessarily like a feeling like we have to save the world, but there's just a sense of like, this is actually just the aligned thing to do right now, right here. This is just what I would do. And sometimes other people don't always feel like they can speak up. And maybe you have the capacity in places where they don't. Maybe they're feeling a little bit bullied or picked on, and they're kind of shut down because of their history. And maybe for whatever reason, your voice becomes something that is available and is inspiring for them to find their own voice through even just seeing you find yours. And houses 9 and 10 are, I think, very much the beginning of being in service to unity, being in service to humanity, being service in connection to the collective consciousness and what's out happening out there at large. Not burning ourselves out by saving the world, so much to speak, even though that can be a deep call this day easily if we look around. More so being in service to the capacity that you can, and also stepping back and knowing when you just can't. There's wisdom in that. That's also a service to unity and humanity. Okay. And amongst that sense of like the beginning, it's like the learning of how do we do that. There's also this sense of a mourning of like, where are the people that are supposed to be role modeling that? Like, where do we actually look for eldership? Where do we actually locate that? How can we actually find something a little bit deeper, something a little bit broader? Where is it that we can search that sense of knowingness that someone has a different perspective on what this could all actually be or mean? And there's like this sense of a longing for that guidance, that eldership. And even without a role model present, there's like the map of that knowingness is somewhere within your reptilian brain. Some say it lives actually, transformational breathwork would say it lives just to the side of the midline. And there's actually like our own guidance here. Oh, my puppy might be barking. My partner just left for work, so we'll see if he can contain his barks. If you hear something really suddenly, you know what's up. Okay. And amongst all of that, there's a sense of not just longing, but a sense of like, oh gosh, I have to birth that myself, even if I don't know what that is. and in its own way, it becomes its own set of just experiencing blockages in the world, in ourselves, in the sense of like, I don't know how to do that. And it can show up in all sorts of ways where we just feel blocked in like, how do I advance here? So I mean, you may not hear it quite in the wording of like eldership terminology, and that might not be your personal experience, but it might show up through for you all in different ways. Maybe it is showing up through a longing for eldership. And it's a metaphor in many ways for feeling blocked against advancements, for feeling blocked against forward movements, for feeling blocked against what it is that you're looking to do, and feeling like wherever you turn, there's somehow limitations in place. All of that is an echo. It's linking into when you were born and feeling the contractions happen, but the water not breaking. So the time before the water broke, some of you might have been C-section, so you didn't even get to have that full experience. And that can create its own set of blockages in that regard. And before the water breaks and the contractions are happening, there's a real sense of like pressure to get somewhere, and then also there's actually like nowhere to go because the path forward through the cervix is actually not able to be navigated within the complete water sac that hasn't broken open yet. So there's this almost like resistance that's unexplainable, and it's like, well, why can't I go anywhere? Oh, this is so frustrating. Why am I stuck here again? And amongst that, working with this memory. So, if you can imagine being in the womb space in that way, feeling that frustration, it's linking into the crown of the head. And I'm going to invite you to like literally just even feel that. You might even place a hand on the crown of your head and literally just feel that restriction, feel that weight, and feel yourself attempting to push through, but not actually able to go anywhere. So you might press up with your head and down with your hand at the same time. And you might feel that weight, that pressure go all the way through the neck. It may go all the way through the back body. It may go all the way down through the backs of the legs. It's actually traveling through the entire bladder meridian. And here we're working with the sense of feeling pissed off. Feeling pissed off and being called to be here, but not being able to complete the capacity to arrive at home. So I got here and now I can't land at home. Are you fucking kidding me? Not that babies are quite thinking in those adult words. I'm obviously putting a lot of adult language to things, but that's the frustration. That's the sense of like a drive to get somewhere that feels like it got blocked. Over time, not for baby's perspective, but more in your lived experience, that may show up as like, I'm so tired of feeling that blockness that I'll just numb out, I'll check out around it. So some of you might not actually feel this in the back body as strongly as others. As we release it, we're going to actually release it from the bladder one point, which actually starts in the inner corner of the eye. And we're going to literally like peel it back over the head and all the way down the midline of the, just to the side of the midline of the spine, all the way down around the buttocks, down the backs, the middle of the backs of the legs, and then down and out through the outside edge of the foot. We're going to traverse the entire range of the bladder meridian. And then we're linking that into the pericardium. Okay. So as we do this, it's also making space in the pericardium, which is the external lining of the heart, to open up and to have fuller range for the heart to actually sense its aliveness, because it doesn't need to be pissed off, because it doesn't need to feel the same blockage, and it doesn't need to be as hidden or as guarded anymore, if that translates. So if you want to do that with me physically, you can. I'm gonna invite you, if you're doing it physically, we're gonna start in the inner corner of the eye. And I'm gonna invite you to breathe here. I'm gonna kind of talk my way through this as I go. So it's gonna come up through the forehead into the scalp, coming around the crown of the head. And then going into the back of the skull, as it takes just that part off around the head, we're working with the permissions of it's safe to get ahead now. It's safe to get ahead now. And then it's going on either side of the spine down through the neck. And as it goes through the neck, it's working with the permissions of, I know where I am. I know where I am. And then it's going to move through the part of the spine that goes through the rib cage. I have to move my hands back now. And as best as you can, knowing that shoulder rotations can be tough there if you're following along. And as it comes through the thoracic spine, through the rib cage area, it's working with a sense of, I don't actually have to protect myself by blocking myself. So it's like freeing up the capacity to move forward with ease. Yeah. So let me find the exact words. I'm more speaking around it right now. Let me find the exact words here. There's free passage here. There's free passage here, are the words. And as it goes down through the low back and into the pelvis, it goes around the buttocks, around the fuller area. It sort of spreads out here. It's not just one line. It goes through and around them all. And there's a sense of, well, it's kind of playful here. Like, you know the expression, I've got your back? This is more like, I've got your butt. Like, in a good way, like, I'll save your ass if you need to be saved. I've got it. I've got your butt. Then it's going to go down through the backs of the legs. As it moves down through the backs of the legs, there's a sense here of reclaiming what it is to stand tall, reclaiming what it is to stand tall. And then as it goes through the outside edges of the feet, just finding it. I have a sense of it, I can feel it. Okay, the words are at, it's just one word. It's actually just the word stability. And amongst all of that, it's like the whole posture begins to subtly rearrange itself. We're going to work with the reciprocals through the spine to support that realignment, which in turn allows for that pericardial space around the heart to allow for further expansion with greater ease amongst this new stability that's located. I'm going to invite you to breathe into that and see what comes alive in your system as you feel into that for yourselves. Just giving that another round of breath. That's all linking into lung one acupuncture point, which is like the beginning of beginnings, the new fresh starts. It's like the perfect spring post-equinox. I know that was just a few days ago. Coming alive. I like to think of this time frame as our start to the year in our solar calendar. Which is a little funny to say that, given that I think we've gotten like an inch of snow in the last hour, and then I've been on the call here with y'all. And as we work with that territory, doing an emotional release of sadness, it's actually coming through the liver space, and it's releasing the challenges around. Pardon me, the sadness is around having had to face the challenges that we've simply moved through and released through the entire length of the bladder meridian. And it's linking right back into the heart space. Now that there's like more space here, there's also more space for your little one to actually rest, to feel at ease. And the words here are just simply that. I get to rest here now. I get to rest here now. Which doesn't mean like cruise without having to doing anything. It just means that there's a capacity to grow with peace without necessarily having to have the extra drama, the extra challenge, the extra sense of burden that goes with that at times. Now, you've heard me say this before. I think that the biggest rebellion there is finding any layer of peace that we can within ourselves. There's something there that we can locate in ways that are actually tangible and doable that we can't always do out there in other world circumstances, in other relationalities, in other people, in other situations, in anything external. And as we begin to do that with accountability within ourselves, something changes within the world around us. We're going to tap this out here. Invitation to breathe and to receive however feels right for you. And then it's going into the meninges of the brain. Just to recap what those are, we haven't talked about them for a while. There's three linings in the brain, in the barrier between the brain and the skull. That line, the skull, is a better way to say that. And they, in that space, allow for much like a buffer of a protection, so that way when you move and you stop, your brain doesn't ka-chunk. I guess I should do it the other way. As you move and you stop, the brain doesn't ka-chunk into your skull. It doesn't come to a dead stop suddenly and leave you with a concussion. So it gives a layer of protection there. And it also circulates nourishment through this cerebrospinal fluid that it supports having that buffer from. Put in different languaging, the CSF, the cerebrospinal fluid, is what buffers that movement. Okay, words hard apparently with that explanation. And as we head into these layers, there's three of them. So there's a pia mater, which is like the most delicate of ones. It's kind of spider webby. They're pardon me, not spider webby. It's like connective tissuey. There's the arachnoid mater, which arachnoid spider. It's the spider webby one. And then there's the dura mater. It's the thicker one. It's more substantial and it's closest to the skull. So those are the three: pia mater, arachnoid mater, dura mater. And the mater is from Latin, meaning mother. So these meningeal layers that line our area between brain and skull are actually considered to be something that holds us and mothers us. Some say it's the connection to the divine mother, would be the consciousness here, or the mystery, whatever we call that, whatever your word is for God, for Buddha, for Allah. So this area of mater surrounds the entire globe of the head, meaning you are held deeply. Your entire being, your entire brain, your entire nervous system, your entire area of your system that decides who it is you think you are, is actually held internally by the fluid that bathes you, that carries the energy through these layers, which give structure, which give a sense of embodiment. What it is to be held by something greater than yourself. And as we support the system in being held by something that which is greater than ourselves, it begins to make a little bit more space as we lean into that to no longer need the roadblocks to keep us safe. We're actually being held, protected, nourished in other ways. So as we work with this, we're actually linking in the consciousness of you, the seat of you, your sovereignty, your authority, your you-ness, your essence, the very core of you, whatever wording you have with that. There's a lot of ideas and expressions around that too. Through to the meninges, excuse me. And as we support the system in landing and feeling held, excuse me, it's working with the consciousness of what it is to be supported. To be supported from the inside out, to be fully held in the aliveness of you, It's like life doesn't actually need a safety net. It came with everything built in already. There's nothing else you need to do. And everything that you thought you needed to do to protect yourself was just from a confusing point in your development that you learned along the way. So it's supporting you in finding those resources, that sense of feeling held by the universe. And as we work with that, we're actually running a cellular repair. And it's actually not on the meningeal layers, it's actually on becoming aware of the meningeal layers. So it's the awareness of that they're here and that you can actually lean into them. You can literally let your skull, let your head move into them. And I know I've sort of put my head back, but if you can imagine doing that like 3D. And we're working with simultaneously simply the words as per permissions, lots of permissions today. You are held here. You are held here. I'm going to invite you to imagine just that, feeling fully held, cocooned in support. And whatever that brings up, usually that'll flare something up around like, well, I can't do that. I can't trust that. I can't lean into that support. I'm not supported. If that's there, and it might not be. This could be going really well in the sense of that's fully accessible. But if there is something that pops up for you around that, we're actually running the along that cellular repair of the awareness of the meningeal layers. It's also connected into the maternal lines to look at where that support, where that maternal sense of nourishment actually was incomplete, that didn't actually happen. And we're doing that for the past four generations. So all the way back to your great-great-grandmothers. All the way to when your grandmothers were in their womb spaces. Because that's where the eggs of your grandmothers were being formed, in your great-great-grandmother's wombs. And as we go back generations, wombs upon wombs, linking into a sense of security, a sense of remembering what it is to be held by the maternal essence, to remember what it is to be held in nourishment, to remember what it is to be nurtured in healthy connections and have needs met, seen, honored. What it is to be attuned to enough, not perfectly. There's always meant to be just enough challenge for you to find your own way through things, to do things in your own way. That's actually a part of it all. But to be met enough in ways that speak enough to the human experience, allowing you to settle into yourself. Allowing you to take your seat within you. And it's interesting, the session, I don't see this very often. It's actually just pausing. It's like in honor of that process of acknowledgement through the generations, just being slowly taken in. It's like a quiet recognition. There's like a stillness to honor that. Then we're linking that into the heart space again with all five, six senses, bringing in the recognition of you back home, fully held. Linking that all the way down to the base chakra, supporting the area in particular of the perineum in not having to grasp or clench. And doing that through all the muscles of the whole pelvis, but in particular the perineum. In other words, like you actually don't have to brace for impact here. You get to allow pleasure to flow freely through your genitals. You don't have to brace for impact. You get to allow pleasure to freely flow through you, just like life flows through you. At the same time as all of that, we're working with cortices, balancing the two sides of the brain through all three brains, head, gut, and heart, into the backs of the shoulders. It's like the very base of the neck, top of the shoulders, right in the midline area. Working with a sense of the foundation of seeing things your own way, doing things your own way, and stepping into how you're honoring your unique flavor. And then that in turn is linking into the Ming Men, which hangs out in the low back. It's like the pilot light of our body. It's like where we take in the energy that fuels our system from our environment and lights us up. So how do we feel connected to our external world in a way that actually lights us up, animates us, vitalizes us, and calls us alive again and again and again, even after those times of challenge and heartache and break? Even after those times of being at loss. And then we're simply tapping this out here. Invitation to breathe and to receive however feels right for you. Giving that a round of breath. I've got a 4 minute, it's just over 4 minute song called Calling Me Home by Isla Nurio and Diamande. I invite you just to hang out in this space and continue to rest if you've got some space to do so. And amongst all of that, invitation to breathe, touching in on that resource if you haven't already been there, or hanging out exactly where you are right here, right now. Whatever feels alive for you. Breathing, receiving here, settling, landing here, calling you home to you.
My voice be strong, and this step be light. May my learning come on this wheel of time, as a breath be took, may the lessons glide. Swiftly as a wind, gentle as a sigh, and hear it calling me home, hear it calling me listening, hear it calling my soul, come and be my guide, walking by my side. As a breath be taken, given, taken, given, calling me home, come and be my guide. my voice be strong and this step be light. May our learning come on this wheel of time as a breath be
Thank you for the opportunity to gather here today in all these ways, and thank you for being here exactly as you are, carrying that sweet medicine of yours. We're the richer for it. Blessings on your journey today, y'all. Kausai to life. Yeah, you're most welcome. I look forward to hearing how y'all get on. Feel free to reach out. If anyone needs any extra support, as always, feel free to hang out. And I'm happy to spend some time that way. Mwah. Bye for now, y'all.